Since it's July 4th, we're going to celebrate the anniversary of our country, and who knows how many years old our country is going to be this Saturday. If you go from 1776, it's going to be 244 years old. That's just from 1776, which was the signing of what document? You know what it was? The signing of the Declaration of Independence. That's right. And that marks the beginning of our country. And I gave you a quote there from John Adams. I read you something John Adams said on Sunday about celebrating the anniversary. But he wrote a lot. And John Adams was the second president of the United States. He was the first vice president. And he was also one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. But on the back of your song sheet there, he comments on the revolution, the American Revolution. And he says, what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments, of their duties and obligations. And any event in history usually doesn't happen just as a sudden surprise, sudden outburst, sudden climax. There's things that lead up to it. And that was true for the American Revolution, you know, the what led up to America declaring her independence. And when we look back in history, the historians can tell us some about this, and so I'm giving you a little history lesson here. But what do we see that influenced the revolution and the formation of our country? I want to suggest two things here with some scripture references as well. But the first is Christian ideas. You know, America was originally founded by Christians, going back even before 1776, all the way back to the 1600s, we remember the Pilgrims, and they came here because they were not able to practice their religion in England as they wanted. And then soon after them were the Puritans. Of course, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they were very closely related. And they had certain ideas that really made an impact on the formation of our country, even leading up to the revolution. And one of those ideas comes out from Acts chapter 17, verse 26, is one reference I gave you there. That's where Paul was preaching in Athens. And he says, God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Paul was talking about God's providence and God's hand, even in the nations of the world, and God determining even the boundaries of those nations and the times of those nations. And we see that in the Old Testament as well, in Psalm 22:28, where it says there, I printed it for you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And, you know, the people who came to our country, they really believed that. They believe that God was sovereign, is sovereign, and he had a hand in the bringing of people to this country, and that God was really doing something with this nation. And so that the Christians who first came here, way even before 1776, they believed that. They also had a view of human nature, which we see in Jeremiah 17:9. Where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And, you know, the people, the Puritans, they believed that. They were Christians, and they had a distrust of human nature. They believed that mankind is capable of some of the worst things. And that influences power. You know, when a leader has power, what controls the power, and they recognize that oftentimes man's sinful human nature really is magnified sometimes by that power that he has. I gave you an example of that even in the Bible, of Herod in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men came. He saw that he was mocked of the wise men. He was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. That is an example of a tyrant. That is a man who had power, and his corrupt nature led him to that atrocity. And the people who came to our country had a distrust of human nature. They recognized that without checks and balances, that power corrupts. And they did not want to see that that one person have all that power. So the Puritans, they believed that. And then we see something else that influenced the revolution, and that is the way that they viewed history. They viewed history as a struggle of evil against good, of darkness against light. And oftentimes how they would describe it would be as Christ against Antichrist. We see that in 1 John 2:18, where John writes, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And the people who first came here, they viewed history like that. They viewed events that were happening in the world like that. They recognized that there is a struggle, and there continues to be a struggle between Christ and Antichrist, good and evil. And they recognized that that was going on. And those ideas influenced even people 100 years later, 100, 150 years later. They were ingrained into the fabric of those founding fathers. And so when they saw these things going on, they were viewing those events in that mindset. But then there was something else, a major event. Some historians say this was the most important event of the 1700s, the Great Awakening. And it happened right in the middle, 1740, 1743. And it was a work of the Spirit of God, but we go back and learn about the history of our country, the colonies at that time, and God did something in the colonies, and many, many people got saved. And we know about some preachers that God used during that time, one of which was a man by the name of Gilbert Tennant, a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, pastors, and especially one of the main figures of that period of time was a man by the name of George Whitefield. And George Whitefield, of course, he was from England, but he came and he toured the colonies up and down 7 different times, and he went around preaching. And historians tell us that as he did that, and as God began to work in the colonies, those colonies became not just 13 different areas, but they began to come together. And this preaching that was going on and the work that was being done there began to cause the colonies to come together and view themselves as one. And George Whitefield was one of the major influences. One historian says that Whitefield was the first public figure in America, the first person who everybody knew about, George Whitefield. And of course, the way that he conducted his preaching and his evangelism was different. I mean, nobody would go into a town and just start preaching outdoors. That was something that you didn't do. You go into the church, and in the church is where you hear preaching, but not outdoors. In Whitefield, he was preaching outdoors, and crowds, thousands of people were coming to hear him. And that was something that really challenged the way things were done. And it led to the idea, really influencing the revolution, that you didn't have to go with how things have always been done. You know, here you have these people out here, and they're not in any sort of church or organization, and they've just committed themselves to hear this man preach, and it really was an influence later on. It was a revolutionary concept, which led to, you know, the attitude even of the American Revolution. And then God used some schools during that time. I mentioned Gilbert Tennent. Gilbert Tennent was part of what is known as the Log College. It started in a log cabin, and it started for the purpose of training preachers, just a few men studying under one man. And that college influenced the Great Awakening. And later on, that college became known as Princeton University. And one of the presidents of Princeton University was John Witherspoon. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the only clergyman to sign the Declaration of Independence. He was a minister. President of Princeton at that time was a minister training institution. And so the Great Awakening would stem from the influence of the Log College. And, of course, Princeton's been in the news here recently because they're removing the name Woodrow Wilson from their, I don't know what it was, if it was a building or something, because of his so-called racist beliefs. But that school came from the Great Awakening. It had a part in the Great Awakening. Another one, involvement in missions was a part of a fruit of the Great Awakening. There was an emphasis on missions and upon reaching the Indians. And a man by the name of Eleazar Wheelock was a promoter of the Great Awakening, the revival. And he wanted to reach the Indians and train and educate the Indians in America so that they could go and evangelize their people, their tribes. And so he started a school, and he had two people in that school when it started. And he began to train those Indians for the ministry. And he opened a school called Moore's Indian Charity School in Connecticut in 1754 with two students. He named it after a supporter that was supporting financially. And then in 1769, the school moved, and they began to accept whites as well as Indians for training. And it became known as Dartmouth College. Of course, Dartmouth is still it's an Ivy League school today, but it was started as a mission work to train Indians so that they could go and train other people in their tribes. So the Great Awakening was something that God used, yes, to save a lot of people. You know, churches grew during that time and people got saved. And it was also something that God used ultimately in the formation of our country later on, 1776. I gave you two last verses there. There was another awakening in Acts in Jerusalem. That verse describes that revival. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And then Habakkuk's prayer in Habakkuk chapter 3. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And, you know, in our country, God has done that in the history of our country, even before with that Great Awakening and other periods of awakenings in the 1800s, even early 1900s. And we need to pray that God would do that again. We certainly need it in our country, and God has greatly blessed our country. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of habitation even for the United States of America. And we need to acknowledge that and just give thanks to God for everything that he's done, and pray for our country especially tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you have blessed our land. We thank you for the awakening that you sent in the 1700s, the people that were saved, and the schools that were started, and the preachers that led in their churches, and also the traveling preachers. And we think about that, and we pray that you would be pleased to bring that again. We know we don't deserve it in our country, but we see the great need all around us of your truth, your word. And we see that struggle of good and evil, of Christ and Antichrist. And we believe that's just as real today as it was in the time of our founders and even before that. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing on this country, and we pray that you would help us tonight as we pray to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, for prayer request time here, praises to start off with. Our country, need to give thanks for our country, 244 years old. Since 1776, anyway. We've been praying for Aaron and Jennifer Margraf, and they are in the process of moving. Jennifer has a job. Aaron still looking, is that right? So pray for him. We praise the Lord for the high school graduates. I think most of us were at the graduation party for Tamar and Beth, but we thank the Lord for their getting through high school. And then Isaac, he played the piano for the entire evening service on Sunday. So we just thank the Lord for that and his willingness to do that, Isaac's willingness. Norm told us on Sunday that his cousin Barry actually does not have cancer, and he was given a wrong report. So that's a praise. And then Norm took care of the weeds in the parking lot last week, so we thank the Lord for that. I saw they were looking like they're dying, so that's a praise as well. All right, any other praises tonight? Anybody else have a praise? Anybody need a pen? Like I do. Any other praises? Yes, Ron? All right, freedom in our country. Anyone else? All right, our heritage here in America. Thankful for that. All right, anybody else? Yes, Mrs. Gossman. Okay, Gossman's had a tree fall down on their garden, maple tree, and thankful they were not under it when it fell. So, thankful for safety from the trees falling. Anyone else? Other praises? Any other praises? Okay, prayer requests. Some newer updated ones here. Jim Newcomb, we're praying for him with his back. I got a message from him that he's doing better, so that's a praise. And Rob Frazier, his great aunt passed away recently. Put down Courtney and Zach and Serenity. Pray for their family. Sue Miller had asked prayer for Rose Tucker. She's one of Tanya's caretakers, and Tanya is Norman Sue Miller's daughter. who has MS. She lives behind them. And so pray for this caretaker of Tanya's. And then pray also for my family, as my aunt passed away last week. And just pray for her husband and four daughters. They live up north in Ashtabula County. All right. And then pray also for Frida's family. We've been praying for her, but they did have a funeral for her grandson here recently. And I talked to her this afternoon. She's back home now. She said her daughter Valerie is doing okay. I guess she was able to speak at the funeral. She was able to do that. So just continue to pray for comfort for Frida and her family. All right. Any other prayer requests? Anything else you want to mention tonight? Yes, Mrs. Gossman. So Mrs. Gossman's cousin passed away with cancer up in Michigan. And so pray for the family there. All right, anyone else? Any other requests or praises? Yes, Ron? Okay, unspoken for Ron and Becky. All right, yes, Mrs. Gossman. So Jonathan Henning is failing. He's been on hospice with cancer. And his wife, she had a mass in her lungs. They removed part of her lungs, her lung. And so pray for the Henning family. All right, anyone else? We're getting ready to drive out to Kansas next week. Planning to leave on Tuesday and be gone for about 2 weeks. And so just pray for safety for the trip. And the vehicle would run, not die. It's going to be hot going out there. It's hot here. It's going to be hot there. So pray for our trip. All right. Any other requests tonight? Yes, Ron?
Safe weekend. I'm sure there's a lot of people traveling. So my family will be traveling. A lot of people get crazy on this weekend. So just pray for a safe weekend.
All right, safe 4th of July weekend. Just pray for people traveling and safety for everybody. All right, anybody else? Yes, Pastor Gospel.
Friends' family is traveling this week for a vacation. They're in Tennessee, where we were going to go. We decided not to. But when they got there to where they were, the house they were supposed to be staying in, they looked up and right in a tree right next to them was a big mother bear with her two cubs. She said it was about 6 feet from her.
They scared away?
So far, everything turned out okay.
She talked all week about wanting to see a bear.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she says, bears aren't cool anymore.
All right, pray for the safety for the Perez's as they have seen bears in Tennessee.
and the and there's a guest speaker at their church that they won't be back till Monday, but just pray for the ministry there, and the man will be preaching in their ministry there.
All right, man filling in for them there with their church in Georgia. Okay, any other requests or praises tonight? Okay, just pray for the, we have some continued standing requests here of our church. So take a look at those, pray for those. And it's a new month. We have a new list of church families on our prayer list. And we want to pray for our families and our church. Our country is in need of prayer. And we have some elected officials of the month here for July. Our president, Donald J. Trump. And then on the state level, our Ohio State Auditor, Keith Faber. And then on the local level, Morrow County Auditor, Patricia Davies. And so these are all elected officials that I put on that list. And so we'll lift them up in prayer. And I do usually let them know that we're praying for them. And last week I got a message back from the Chief Justice here in Ohio, Maureen O'Connor, and she expressed appreciation for our praying for her last month. So that was nice of her. For our outreach, we are looking to have our church booth there at the Knox County Fair, as they're planning to have that. And so we're just trying to think through what we're going to do for that, but just pray about that. All right, and then our missionaries. We want to pray for each of them. So who can take the Kilmers and Matias and the Studdards? We'll put them together. Ron, and then Boss, Zartman, Helly. We'll keep the Mexico ones all together. Who can take Mexico? Pray for Mexico missionaries. Can you do that? Lillian? Okay, so remember to pray for the Mexico missionaries. All right, then Cindy Grover, the Perez's, and the Crawfords. Jenny, can you take those three? All right, and then Ohio Bible Mission and the Hepzibah House. Who can take those two? Pastor Gossman? Okay. All right, anything else? Any other requests? Praises? Yes. Yeah, I got a note from her. She's going to be heading back to Lebanon. I guess the airport's finally open, but only allowing 10% capacity in their airport. So it's pretty small, but somehow she's able to make plans to go. So pray for Cindy as she heads back. All right, anything else? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and divide up. We'll let the ladies go in the room, side room here, and we'll have the men's prayer out here.